All right, we're finishing with Jonah, the book of Jonah today, and we're going to be in Jonah chapter 4. And we've been going through the book of Jonah, each chapter at a time. And so today, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 4. But I want to start in a little bit a different place, right in the beginning. And it might seem a little bit strange to do that when we talk about Jonah. However, I would like you to go with me to Luke chapter 15. That's where we're going to start. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. We're not going to read all those verses, but I want you to go there with me. You all know this parable of the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son parable. And in this story, we see the youngest son leaving his father and rebelling against his father. And then, after many circumstances in his life, the way the life led him, he comes back to the Father. He repents and he comes back to the Father. So we often think that there is only one prodigal son in this story, the youngest son, because he was lost, now he's found, he left, and now he came back. However, there are actually two prodigal sons in this story. Have you ever thought about the oldest son? The oldest son, even though he never went away, even though he was never lost, so to speak, he would never rebelled, so to speak, against his father, he was still a prodigal son. He was lost as well, but he was lost at home. He didn't have to go anywhere away from his father. He was lost at home. And verses 28 to 30, if you look at those verses there, when the prodigal son comes back, the father does what for him? He throws a huge party for his son. And while he's doing that, what is happening? The oldest son is angry with whom? With the father. He's angry with the father. Why? Because the father offered mercy to the youngest son and accepted him back and was giving him all of these gifts and throwing this big party for him. In his mind, the younger brother was not worthy of this. In his mind, the younger brother was not worthy of his father's mercy and grace. Now, Tim Keller has this new book that he talks about Jonah, and this is what he says about Jonah. Jonah takes turns acting as both the younger brother and the older brother. In the first two chapters of the book, Jonah disobeys and runs away from the Lord and yet ultimately repents and asks for God's grace, just as the younger brother leaves home but returns repentant from Luke chapter 15. Now, this is what he says, but in the last two chapters of the book of Jonah, Jonah obeys God's command to go and preach to Nineveh. In both cases, however, he's trying to get control of the agenda. When God accepts the repentance of the Ninevites, just like the older brother, Jonah bristles with self-righteous anger at God's graciousness and mercies to sinners. That's why I entitled my sermon today, The Prodigal Prophet. He is exactly like the older brother from Luke chapter 15. When we think of the book of Jonah, we think of big fish swallowing Jonah. Then we think of great repentance story of the Ninevites, and those are great. However, even though these are very, very important parts of the story of the book of Jonah, the book of Jonah is about the conversion of the prophet itself. We see God working with Jonah all the way throughout the book of Jonah. And Jonah was just as much in need of God's grace as the Ninevites. This is very evident in chapter 4 of Jonah. So let's go back to the book of Jonah chapter 4. And we start in the first four verses there. So I divided the fourth chapter in three different parts. And the first part, we see Jonah's anger, verses 1 to 4. So Jonah chapter 4 starts with the following words, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became what? Angry. Angry with whom? With God. And why? because he offered grace and mercy to the Ninevites. He explains this in verse 2 and 3. I knew you're a gracious and merciful God. I knew that you would have mercy. What's wrong with grace and mercy of God? There's nothing wrong with that. There's something wrong with Jonah's view of God. There's something wrong there. He was angry for exactly the same reason the older brother was angry. Because the Heavenly Father forgave the Ninevite children and offered them undeserving grace and mercy. Jonah, in his anger, is attacking God's actions, saying that the people of Nineveh do not deserve God's grace. And nobody deserves God's grace. Do we deserve God's grace and mercy? No. That's why it's called undeserved grace. You don't deserve it. God gives it to you. He just offers it to you. Now, it's very interesting that Jonah himself called on mercy of God and enjoyed his mercy when God extended it to him, didn't he? In chapter 2, when he was in the belly of the fish, he called on his grace and mercy and enjoyed it, and now he resents it when it's extended to others. Don't we act like that sometimes? When we need mercy and grace, we really ask God, but when he extended to others, oh, wait a second, what's happening here? What if God treated Jonah the way Jonah wanted God to treat the people of Nineveh? There were these two elderly ladies in the south in one of the churches, and they were sitting together in the front pew and listening to this fiery sermon that preacher was preaching that Sabbath. And when this preacher condemned the sin of stealing, these two ladies cried out, "Amen, brother!" When the preacher condemned the sin of lust, they yelled again, "You preach it, Reverend! You preach it, Pastor!" And when the preacher condemned the sin of lying, they jumped to their feet and shouted, "Right on, brother! Tell it like it is! Amen!" But when the preacher condemned the sin of gossip, the two got very quiet. And one turned to the other one and said, "He quit preaching and now he's talking foolishness." You know, we all have this self-righteous attitude, but if we thought more carefully about it, we would see that many times we are no different than many people around us who we judge very eagerly. We might be guilty of different sins, however, we are the beneficiaries of the same grace and mercy of God as others whom we judge. We must make sure that we get rid of this self-righteous attitude in our lives because it is very damaging to us. It is very damaging to our spiritual experience. So the Bible says that Jonah was angry with God. And someone said this, Jonah made three errors that angry people often make in churches. And you might find yourself there. Each of these things put Jonah in a worse place, not a better place. First, Jonah quit serving God and others. Do we see that when somebody gets angry in the church? What do they do first thing? I'm done. I'm not going to serve the church anymore. I'm done with this. Number two, that angry people, when people get angry in churches, this is what they do. Number two, Jonah separated himself from others. Do we see that? People, when they get upset in the church, they separate themselves. They don't want to do anything else with the pastor or with the church members or anybody else. And third, this is another thing that happens to people that get angry. Jonah became a spectator. When people get angry, he said, "I'm just going to watch and do nothing." Many Christians behave the same way when they become angry with God, with the church, with the pastor, or another member in the church. They quit serving God, or they separate themselves from others, or they just become spectators. But the Lord doesn't give Jonah... The Lord doesn't leave Jonah alone. Even though he is angry, God is still working with Jonah. Amen? And this is what he does with us when we get angry with others. It says, then the Lord responded to this angry outburst from Jonah, and he just asked a question. The best way to deal with a person that is angry, just ask questions. Don't tell them what to do, because they're going to become more angry. You probably found out that, right? Don't tell them what to do. Ask them a question. And what is God asking him? Is it right for you to be angry? What is God doing here? God wanted Jonah to think about what he's doing. Jonah is so angry, and God says, is it right for you angry? Think about this before you burst out like we all do. Before you react to something, think about it. And that is why God tells us in Isaiah 1 verse 18, and I love this verse where God says, come now, let us what? Reason together. When you get angry, you don't reason anymore. You don't think anymore because you react. And that's what Jonah did here. He reacted. But God is telling Jonah, stop for a moment. Let's talk about this. Let's reason together. Is it right for you to be angry with me? God is telling Jonah, tell me, why do you think you have the right to be angry? Why do you think you have the right to be angry? So we see this first part of Jonah chapter 4, we see that Jonah is angry, but God is working with this angry prophet. The second part, I entitled it Jonah's Short-Lived Happiness. Jonah is a very moody prophet, okay? Like many of us. His mood swings are like crazy in chapter 4 here. He's angry, he's happy, he's angry again. It's all over the place. But that's how humans are, okay? So we go to verses 5 to 8 and we see his short-lived happiness. When God confronts Jonah's self-righteous attitude and hypocrisy by asking him this simple question, Jonah did not want to answer him. You see that Jonah doesn't even answer God. What does he do here? Instead, Jonah behaves like a little child pouting and going outside of the city. You had little children. When they don't like something, they pout and they just walk away. This is what Jonah does here. He doesn't answer God. He just pouts and goes outside the city. Now, the question to me here is, why didn't Jonah just leave and go back to Israel after the Ninevites repented? Why didn't he leave? Well, Jonah thought that God would change his mind and still destroy the Ninevites. So he went outside the city, found a nice spot to see the city. He sat there and he was waiting. He got the front row seat to the spectacle that God is going to perform. He thought that God will still destroy Nineveh. So he wanted to watch that. That's why he just went outside the city and was watching. So we see here that Jonah gives God the silent treatment. He doesn't respond to his question. And a lot of us do the same thing. We apply that silent treatment in our marriages, in our relationships, and in our churches. If I could tell you how many times members gave me the silent treatment because they didn't like what I said in a sermon or didn't like me when I confronted them or something, when I had to make a tough decision that would, you know, benefit the entire church, not just one member. They get upset with me, don't shake my hand when they walk by, or they're upset with me, they don't talk to me. I could count on, well, I need more hands if I have to count all of those. It really, in the beginning of my ministry, it really used to bother me why people do that, but now it doesn't anymore. I just let it in God's hands. Let God take care of that anger. That's not my problem. I'll still be there, put my hand out. If you want to shake it, that's fine. And if you want to say hi to me, that's fine. But if you're angry with me for something that I have done or might have not done, that's between you and God, okay? But this is what Jonah does here to God. He gives him the silent treatment. He doesn't want to talk to God. When he was confronted by God, asking him about his anger, he did not want to talk to him. Now, even though Jonah behaves this way, God is patient with him and prepares an object lesson for him. God is still patient, and that's what I'm trying to do, be patient with people, try to understand them why they're reacting the way they did. because there might be something in their life that I don't know about, and they reacted that way, okay? But it's still hard to take that silent treatment, all right? I'm going to tell you about that. But we need to be like God, applying that patience and trying to understand the person. So in verse 5 to 8, we find the story of the plant, the worm, and the wind. This is a very interesting story that is given to us in chapter 6 and chapter 4 here. So we see Jonah going outside the city and he builds a shelter, the Bible says. However, in verse 6, the Lord provides a plant to Jonah to shade him from the scorching desert sun. What's happening here? I thought that Jonah built himself a shelter. That shelter was not adequate to shade him from the sun. You see, when you try to do in your own efforts, it's never going to be adequate. You need God to provide for you. So he's trying to provide the shelter for himself, but it's still not good. The sun is still scorching him. So God says, you know what? Even though you're upset with me, even though you're giving me the silent treatment, I'll be gracious and merciful to you. I'll provide a plan for you. And that plan just came up in like it was a miracle. And it was nice shelter for him. God saw how miserable Jonah was, and he gave him a special gift to ease his discomfort. This plant in the desert was a wonderful expression of the kindness of God. And now notice Jonah's reaction. Jonah is upset with God, but as soon as he gets a plant, what happens? It says, the Bible says, so Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Now he's happy. That's why I said he's a moody prophet. He's angry, he's happy, and we'll see in a moment he's going to be angry again. Bipolar, somebody says. Now, finally, Jonah is happy here. The plan brought comfort and joy and a blessing to him. So my question to you, what is your plant in your life, in your spiritual life? What brings you comfort, joy, and blessing? What is your plant? Everything that you have in your life is a gift from God, amen? It's His gift. That is your plant. It's His blessing. So make sure you thank God for the plant. Make sure you thank God for all the blessings that you receive in your lives. However, Jonah's happiness about the plant was short-lived. After the plant comes the worm. And verse 7 says, but as morning dawned, the next day God prepared a what? A worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. Jonah woke up ready for another day of comfort and joy and blessing under the plant that has made him so happy, only to find out that the plant was chewed up by this worm and it withered. Now put yourself in Jonah's shoes. Would you be still happy? You'd probably be angry with God too. Because it says here that the worm was prepared by whom? By God. The plant was appointed by God, and the worm was appointed by God. The worm brought sorrow, brought loss and disappointment. So my question to you is, what is your worm in your life? What is the source of sorrow, loss, and disappointment in your life right now? That's your worm at this time. And then it gets even worse for Jonah. Remember, God is trying to teach him a lesson here. In verse 8, it says, and it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He was fainting from the sun. Now, once again, try to put yourself in Jonah's shoes. It wasn't enough that the plant is gone. Now Jonah faces another trial. The wind is blowing the sand in his face while the sun is beating down on his head in this desert place. So the wind brings affliction and pain and distress in his life. So what is your wind at this time? What in your life is causing you affliction, pain, and distress? Now let me put all of these three things together. There is a surprising truth about the worm and the wind here, and the plant. When we look at these three, the plant, the worm, and the wind, which of these comes from God? All three of them. That's very important to notice that. God provides the plant in verse 6, God provides the worm in verse 7, and God provides the scorching east wind in verse 8. It's the same word that is used in each verse. Jonah wants us to understand that God's hand was as much in the worm and the wind as it was in the plant. God was working as much in the wind that brought affliction, pain, and distress, and in the worm that brought sorrow, loss, and disappointment, as he was in the plant that brought comfort and joy and blessing to the life of Jonah. God uses each of them for our spiritual growth. Amen. God uses the blessings for our spiritual growth, and we like those. And that's what when we become happy, when God provides his blessing. But as soon as we get the worm or the wind, we become what? Angry with God again. But it's the same God that wants to teach us a lesson. Earlier in the story, in chapter 1, verse 17, it's using the same word when it says that God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah. The fish was appointed by God to save Jonah from the waters. So the God who saved Jonah by providing a great fish, now he saves Jonah through the experience of the plant, the worm, and the wind. He needs salvation again. But how does he do that? Now, I read this article by Colin Smith, and he has some great insight into this. And this is what he says. As God provided a fish to save Jonah in chapter 1, here God provides the worm and the wind to save Jonah from a plant-centered life. This is not a plant-based diet, okay? Plant-centered life. I want to make sure that somebody doesn't misunderstand me. What does that mean? A plant-centered person is one who is so taken up with the joys and blessing of God's plants in this life that he comes to love his gifts more than the God who gives them. So we center our lives on the plants, on the blessings, and we forget about the giver. Does it sound familiar to you? God's plants often, he says, mask our problems. And this is an important point. When God took away the plant, Jonah's anger intensified to the point where he wanted to die in verse 9. Jonah was already angry in verse 4, but when God gave him the plant, the anger seemed to go away. But now that the plant is gone, his anger is back. So Jonah was a prophet that was changing his moods all the time, and we are the same in our spiritual life. We are very much like Jonah. We are happy when God provides blessings to us, the plants, but then we become angry when God takes those away. Here's a man who is fundamentally angry with God, Jonah. But the plant masked his problem for just a time. It just took that anger away for just a time. And most of us have the same attitude. I want you to remember this. All of your blessings in your life, like money, family, success, they can mask those things, the anger that you really have in your life. God's gifts in your life bring you happiness. But if your greatest joy is in the plant, just in those blessings, you'll live a plant-centered life. And when the plant is gone, what happens is your antagonism towards God comes out again. Those blessings in your life, they just mask your anger towards God for a very short while. It's very temporary. It's very short-lived. But it will come again. As soon as the plant is gone, you're angry with God again. And that's how you go in your life, up and down in your mood swings, being angry with God. When Jonah lost the plant, his blessing, he lost his reason to live. That's why he said, I want to die. If you live a plant-centered life, your reason for living withers with the plant. It's gone. The plant is not the reason to live. Your family, money, success, your work, these are all good gifts from God, but they are not the reason to live. I want you to thank God for the plant. I want you to thank God for your blessings. But don't live for the plant. The reason to live is not the gifts, but the giver. For Christians, Jesus is the real reason to live. Amen? It's Jesus, not the blessing that we receive. So let's go quickly to the third part as we finish here. Verses 9 to 11. So we see Jonah being angry, then his short-lived happiness that turns into anger again. And here, verses 9 to 11, we see God once again respond, and we see the mercy of God here. God's mercy in chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. So, in verse 9, God asked Jonah again. So remember, in verse 4, he asked him, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah doesn't respond. And here, once again, Jonah is angry, and God is asking him almost the identical question, but he changes a little bit the thing at the end. He says, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Okay? So he's asking him, and Jonah responds this time, and he says, it is right for me to be angry, even to death. He felt totally justified being angry with God. Now, do you know that these are the last words of Jonah in the book of Jonah, actually? These are his last words. What a strange way to finish, you know, his words, because Jonah wrote the book of Jonah, but this is his last words that are recorded in this book. But thankfully, they are not the last words of the entire book. The book doesn't end that way. The book of Jonah ends with a question from God in verse 11. And this is what God says right there at the end of verse 11. Shall I not be concerned with that great city? A question. And then, you know, God ends with that. And should I not have pity on Nineveh, that great city, which are more than 120,000 persons, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Shall I not be concerned with those people? That's how the book of Jonah ends. It's a strange ending to end with a question. There is no answer. We want that answer. What happened next? Did Jonah repent? The Bible doesn't tell us. Why would the book end like this? This ending leaves the reader hanging. We do not get the answer from Jonah. Why doesn't the text tell us? Well, it's because the focus of the book of Jonah is not about Jonah himself, actually, and his repentance. The book of Jonah is actually about you and me. That's why God ends like that, the book of Jonah. It's a cliffhanger. What happens? The text leaves us hanging because it asks the question, what about you? What would you do if you were in Jonah's place? What does God see in you, in your heart? What do you hate? What do you love? What are your priorities in life? That's why Jonah ends this way, because the book is about you and I. It's not about Jonah. God is asking you today this question that he asked Jonah at the end. Are you more concerned with your personal security and comfort than serving God and helping others? That's what that question means here. Are you more concerned about your personal comfort with the plan that I took away your security, your comfort, than serving God and helping others? The text leaves us hanging because your story is still being written. And you must answer these questions in your own life. So what is it going to be? Are you going to behave like Jonah and be angry with God all the time? Be angry because he's offering grace and mercy to the Ninevites? Or are you going to repent of that? Let me close with this. Did you know that on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, one of the most solemn day in the Jewish calendar, the Day of Atonement, the story of Jonah is read in synagogues? Every Yom Kippur, every Day of Atonement, the story of Jonah is read in the synagogues. Of all of the readings that could have been chosen for the highest holy day of the year, someone started a tradition of reading Jonah, but nobody knows why. Why do Jewish people read about Jonah on this high holiday? And so there are some rabbis that give some answers, and I like two of those. And so one of them believes that Jonah is read on Yom Kippur with the hope that listeners would learn from Jonah's mistakes. And that's why the book ends that way, and asking, what about you? Did you learn the lesson from Jonah? But one rabbi says it this way. It's very simple, but makes a lot of makes good sense here. He says this: God cares for everyone. Jonah cares only for himself. God wins. That's it. That's the summary of the book of Jonah. If you forget everything I preached in four sermons about the book of Jonah, remember this. Jonah cares about only himself. God cares about everyone. God wins. Amen? God wins. Jonah was a prodigal prophet, but God worked with him and showed him mercy and grace. And God does the same with us. In our self-righteous and selfish attitude, we forget to show care and concern for other people around us, but God is working with us by sending the worms and the winds to teach us some hard lessons. Like Jonah, we are all broken and wounded, being angry with God, but God, in His mercy, is patiently healing us by His grace. May God bless you. Amen.